Podcast friends, my name is David Lee, and you're listening to the Inspire Design Create podcast, giving freelance filmmakers a voice, sharing their stories, and connecting the world of cinematography, commercial filmmaking, and starting your own business together. Let's go.
Microphone check. We are doing a microphone check. Sound okay. Different setup also. I'm going back to the roots using the Rode NTG2. Previously for all the other podcast episodes, I've been using the Deity S Mic 2 with the Tascam DR60 Mark 2. As that was like the field recorder I was using before I got the FS7. Now I just go everything into camera, which is a lot faster. But sometimes I use recorders, and right now I'm going back into the Zoom H4n Pro. I don't know. I feel like this combo, NTG Rode mics with the Zooms, for some reason, it just sounds a little bit crispier, I guess. All that being said, today we are talking about who needs 8K, right? Who is 8K for? 8K resolution. In 2020, we have cameras like the EOS R5 that record in that can record in 8K. For the most part, a lot of cameras, the flagship cameras are all 6Ks, right? Blackmagic has a Pocket 6K. They have a 12K Ursa Mini Pro now. Panasonic has the S1H, which is 6K. The Sony FX9 is 6K and downsamples into 4K. Who else am I missing? Fuji is still in the 4K realm, which is fine. Nikon, I think they just shoot 4K, right? But I mean, in general, right, we have like if you go into like the higher end levels of camera systems, you have like the Red Monstro and the Heliums and the Epics and all those sensors that record in 8K. So like, who is 8K really for? You know, like, do you really need 8K in any camera? And that short and sweet answer is it depends. Because if you're like James Gunn, doing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 or whatever it is, right? Then you're going to be using 8K because of the heavy VFX stuff. If you are doing a lot of, and to kind of, you know, piggyback on that, if you are doing a lot of heavy VFX work, then 8K and 12K, that definitely does help out in that realm. But if you're not doing anything that's very, very heavy VFX related, even a solid 4K sensor that can record in RAW or that can record in ProRes 4444XQ, right? Like, which has kind of been the go-to for a lot of medium-sized productions and even in feature films, right? I've seen a couple of feature films where they've been using the Ursa Mini Pro, not even the G2, the original Ursa Mini Pro, just because of its ability and its the color fidelity, the codec strength, right? Because it can do, in that time it was doing Cinema DNG RAW, right? So fully uncompressed RAW, and it could also do ProRes 4444XQ. It's a 12-bit 12-bit, yeah, it's 12-bit 444 color space, right? So you have all that going on for it. And now we have, you know, the smaller cameras that can do 6K, that can do 4K. In your everyday use, in your production use for your business needs, are you ever delivering anything past 4K, right? I know for me, in the past 3 years, I never delivered anything in 4K for a client. They've never asked for 4K. I've had some clients ask to record in 4K. But they're always delivering in 1080p, full HD for web use, for Facebook use, for Instagram use, for YouTube use, for website use, right? Now, all that being said, even though I'm still delivering in HD, and sometimes I just shoot in HD, right? I don't shoot in 4K sometimes, but I think now in 2020, we're getting to a point where the consumer displays, and especially with COVID, there's a lot more people at home now, right? A lot more people, or a lot less people mobile. Whereas before, people were more mobile, right? So like the argument is if the majority of people are just watching stuff on their phones and on their iPads and tablets, that aren't even a 4K display, right? I mean, I think even the iPhone 11 Pro, whatever it's called, it's only like a 2K display, right? It's not even close to 4K. So that being said, with more people now at home with, you know, TVs and projectors and their computer screens, right? I think there is an argument where looking forward in your camera system is a good thing, right? Pre-COVID, I would have just said, you know, if your camera does 4K, that's all you need for another, you know, 5-6 years probably, right? Now in 2020, again, as budgets are different, I think it's smart to look at cameras that can at least get into that 6K realm. And again, it also kind of factors in with all your business needs, right? Maybe you don't need a camera that's 6K, but with the majority of the cameras that are out now and that are being released, all of them kind of default to like a 6K sensor, right? But the fact of the matter is you don't need an 8K camera, you don't need a 12K camera, especially when you're delivering in HD, and also if you're not going to be fully utilizing 8K or 8K or 10K or 12K, right? Because like the amount of information that you also have to record is a lot, right? 8K is more than 4K, so you have to factor in. The storage requirements for that, not only for computer storage, but say you're on a project where you're delivering to a client, right? Then you also need a hard drive margin for those 8K files. On top of that is the media itself, right? If you're in the Red ecosystem, Red Mini Mags are not cheap, right? So you have to factor that in. If you're on the Canon R5, right? With this media, it's relatively inexpensive compared to like a Red Mini Mag, but it's still something that you need to factor in, right? Because I think you only get like, if the camera actually allows you to record it and doesn't overheat, you get 20 minutes, you know, 15 to 20 minutes in 8K. That's not a lot for, I think, and that's for like a 256 gigabyte card. So you have to factor that in. And is that going to make your projects any better? Is that going to make your client's final deliverable any better? Probably not, right? Most likely not. So, you know, you have to kind of, you really have to dig down, take some time to decide and to analyze, where does 8K fit in my current workflow? Where does 8K fit in my current clientele? And if it's not, you know, like majority, like over 70% of the time, then you don't need 8K. And that example also goes for any other resolution camera, right? Maybe that's 4K. You're thinking about, do I need a 4K camera now, right? Maybe you've been doing a lot of corporate events, corporate films where you just need 1080. Maybe you've been using a C100 Mark II for the past couple of years. You're looking at a 4K capable camera. That's also a discussion that you need to have, right? Is like, how often do I deliver in 4K? Are my clients asking for 4K? And is there any benefit if I'm also doing the post-production for me to record in 4K when I need to buy more media, more storage? Is that going to make anything better, right? And if it doesn't make anything better, then there really isn't a solid argument to use it, right? Like it has to, for me, it has to outweigh by not a landslide victory, but like majority vote, so to speak, right? Like 70% of the time, if this newer tool is going to help better my production, make me faster, get the image quality that the client needs, then that's a very solid argument to make. But if it's not going to do that, then it's, you know, you sort of have to weigh things out and figure out, you know, is this really a good use of my money in this moment? So it'll be interesting to see, you know, as technology continues to evolve and things continue to go faster pace in our world and in our economy. You know, like right now, even 8K displays, even though they've been out and they are out, how many people are actually buying 8K displays for their homes, right? Like probably the 10%, the top 10% of the wealthiest are buying 8K displays, right? Because no one else below that has any money to buy like an 8K display, right? gamers are probably getting into 8K, right? I remember like back in the day when I was building PCs and that kind of stuff, because I used to work in IT and tech and avid video game enthusiasts, you know, like it was how could you max out a 4K display at 120 hertz and make it like, you know, sustainable and all that kind of stuff, right? So maybe you're in that niche, but for us filmmakers and for the people that are watching our content, you know, they might be using, I would say probably they're using, they have some kind of 4K TV in their house right now, a Samsung or an LG or something like that, right? But I guarantee you, if you were to switch the TV to like a 1080p mode, and you showed a Vimeo video to them, and you switch it to 4K, and you're showing the exact same video, I bet you they wouldn't be able to tell the difference, right? So I think a lot of times many of us get caught up in I need the best image quality, and I need the best camera and the highest end camera and all that jazz, right? And for sure. But at the end of the day, it's the people who are watching it, you know, like that's the audience. So if they can't even tell a difference, as long as things don't start falling apart with your image, right? Then you're good. Then you don't need 8K, right? And for me, I have no plans on getting an 8K camera anytime soon. For me, I think next year the main purchase for me would be the Sony FX9, just because with the FS7, I've been loving everything about the FS7. It's made me faster, it's made me more efficient on set, and the codecs hold up to an enormous amount of color grade and other VFX abuse. And so the FX9 for me, even though it doesn't do 6K, and I just saw the FX6 was announced, and that's supposed to do 6K. I guess we'll have to see exactly what that camera can do once it's been released. But with the FX9, for me, that does everything that I need for my production use, and probably like 95, 96, 98% of what my clients will ever ask for in the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, right? Because again, I don't do like, I don't do a lot of heavy VFX stuff. I'm not doing sci-fi stuff. I'm not doing a lot of plates. I'm not doing a lot of like music videos that might need trippy effects and stuff like that, right? The FX9 is a very practical tool for me, and it's a 6K sensor, right? Which we kind of go back to everything now. It's kind of like in that realm, like 4K, 6K. So it's a 6K sensor that has everything that I need, and hopefully Sony will release some firmware down the road that actually enables a 6K, right? Because it would be kind of weird to announce a FX6 that's smaller than the FX9, but the FX6 actually does allow you to record in 6K, right? So I don't think that's a hardware thing on the FX9. That has to just be a firmware thing, and marketing thing, or you know what I mean. So yeah, man, you know, just take a look. If you guys need 8K, if that's the question you're asking yourself, if you need 12K, chances are you probably don't, right? You probably don't, and you would have to have like your clients asking you for 8K and 12K like every project for you to actually utilize that, right? The whole like crop into post thing, I think, is even though I still do it from time to time, it's still a matter of it's still a matter of actually just getting better at your craft instead, right? Because I've seen plenty of examples of like, you know, the benefits of using an 8K sensor is you can get multiple angles, right? And that kind of depends, because does the angle actually serve the story though, right? Because if you put someone center frame, right, in your center frame on a 50 mm lens on like a Red Monster, right, 8K, okay, if you punch in, you could then put them on a third to the right, you could then put them on a third to the left, you could crop just like the top of the head off, you can crop in to just get their mouth, you can crop in just to get their nose, get their eye, which is great, right? But does that even go into your storyboarding process, right? Like, do you actually even need all those shots? And to say like that is obviously it's a great tool to have, right? If you're delivering in HD, and also if you're delivering in 4K, I would say, but the ability to crop in, right? It takes you out of the sphere and also like the workflow process of a cinematographer, right? Because if you're just say, oh, well, the 50 mil, I'm just using everything else, right? A 50 millimeter lens looks different than an 85. That looks different than a 135, and that looks different than a 25, right? So I think, you know, the whole cropping into posting is, for me, it's just a lazy way of working, right? And again, if that serves a story though, that's fine. But just take those things into consideration when you're thinking about, you know, just having the ability to crop into post, right? Like learn the craft better than just relying on software to do, to help you out, where your weak points might be, right? Now, again, that's not to say that like stuff like that doesn't work, because sometimes maybe for whatever reason, all you have is just one lens for whatever reason, right? Which would be very rare, especially if you have an 8K camera, right? I would probably say, you know, something else is not adding up there, right? But let's just say you have one lens, that's all you have, then, you know, maybe that situation works out, all right? Okay, I think that's enough rambling for me today. I hope you guys took something away from this 8K rant. Coming up, we have some more business mindset, negotiation tactics related episodes. Trying to get some more people involved on the podcast, whether filmmakers and directors. What is it? We're in September already, going into October. The United States is still looking like just complete ass. No one knows what's going on. No leadership. People I know moving out, you know, to other states or out of the country. And that's also a question that I'm asking myself too. Let me know what you guys think on 8K. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Ciao.